Welcome to 2020 Did It To Me, the podcast that seeks to understand the changes in our lives since 2020. April 1st marks 1 year of my podcast, which is so hard to believe. Thank you so much for being along for this journey, whether you were someone I interviewed, passed along an article, or just encouraged me along the way. This podcast is really important to me, and it's even bigger than that. It's really just this topic, this understanding of, okay, we're different on the other side of 2020. What does that actually look like? How have our lives shifted? So this is really important to me, and thank you so much for supporting me for 1 year of this adventure. In season one, I asked everyone I interviewed what three words they would use to describe their life before 2020, their 2020 experience, and then life afterward. And one word showed up multiple times: rebirth. For some, the 2020 experience led to a rebirth. On the other side of everything 2020 threw at us, they had changed. And while for some of us, 2020 made way for an increase in personal rebirths, let's see what it did to actual births. Today's episode zooms in on how birth rates have been impacted since 2020. Up front here, I want to go ahead and issue a quick acknowledgement as we start out this episode and then continue through the rest of this season. I'm just a regular person with an interest in understanding how 2020 has changed our lives. I'm not an expert in data analytics, nor am I a researcher running my own studies on this, though that would be pretty cool. And I say all of this because I want you to know that I'm curating data and information on this topic from a variety of sources to share back with you. I'm not being paid, I'm not endorsing any specific organizations or outlets, and I can't necessarily testify that this information is exactly true in its entirety. That's kind of what research is, right? It's what we know for right now based on what data we have access to. Regardless, everything I will share has helped me understand how we are changing in the wake of 2020, period. And I want to share those learnings with you as we begin to piece together how our lives are shifting since the start of this decade. So I say all of this because there will likely be mistakes in research that will be updated and corrected as time goes on, and I will do my best to only share what I believe to be credible sources. And I also welcome you to dig deeper and feel free to reach out to me with questions at any time at info@2020diditome.com. Alrighty, let's get on with it. Birth rates. COVID babies. We've all heard the term. It seemed like there was a point during the pandemic where baby announcements were a dime a dozen. But what did COVID really do to birth rates? Was there an increase in babies due to the pandemic or not? Scientific American posted a December 2023 article by Tanya Lewis and Amanda Montañez that said experts predicted the COVID pandemic would prompt Americans to have fewer children, since that's a trend that's seen during economic recessions and disasters. A study by Melissa Shatini Kearney and Philip B. Levine, posted by the National Bureau of Economic Research, shows the pandemic was associated with a baby bust period from August 2020 to February 2021, where there were nearly 100,000 fewer births than predicted based on pre-existing birth trends and seasonality. They attribute this bust or this decrease to several things, including impact of economic, social, and public health factors, rise in unemployment rates, and a drop in household spending, which is often associated with a drop in conceptions, uncertainty and fear around COVID, which amplified all of these, restricted access to in-person healthcare, so there were fewer prenatal visits, which might have led to more late-term miscarriages. And you also have to take into account restricted immigration, which resulted in a drop in births to women born outside of the U.S. But Kearney and Levine also saw birth rates rebound between March and September 2021 of about 30,000 more births than predicted. So that bust, that decline that we've been talking about, was larger in states with larger increases in unemployment rate, with larger reduction in household spending, and more COVID cases. So the higher the unemployment, the more COVID, the more reduction in household spending, it seemed like there were less births. And on the flip side, they point out that the rebound, the increase in births, was larger in states that experienced more positive economic conditions, like a better labor market, higher household spending. And that rebound was actually smaller, too, in states with mask mandates, aka more social anxiety around the pandemic. So last point on their research, they also say that the size of the COVID baby bust and rebound pales in comparison to the longer-term decline in U.S. births, which have fallen by about 20% over the last 15 years, and they show no signs of reversing. So this is really a trend that's larger and much, much more consequential, they say, to society than the temporary fluctuations in birth rate due to COVID. So just summarizing here, let's go back to what Lewis and Montañez found. There was definitely a drop in births in 2020 that was actually less severe than experts predicted. But total births bounced back big time in 2021 with what's being referred to as a baby bump. Some experts say we also have the rise of remote work to thank, which has made it easier for parents to balance work and family responsibilities. But even as we've seen a baby bump since 2020, both of these sources point to a larger trend that goes beyond our current decade. Fertility rates, aka the number of expected children a woman would have in her lifetime based on current trends, have been falling steadily since 2007. In a Washington Post analysis by Andrew Van Dam from November 2023, the data he shares confirms this and zooms out even further to look at birth rates in the U.S. since the early 1900s. Here are a few things he and his team found related to U.S. birth rates. He shared a line graph showing data from the National Center for Health Statistics, which visualizes annual births per 1,000 women ages 15 to 44 in America. Imagine the left side, or the start of the graph, as the peak of a big hill of a roller coaster, followed by a deep valley, another big hill, another valley, and then a flat-ish track to end with. That's what we're looking at here for America's birth rate. What does this actually mean? Where this graph begins, there's a peak in 1910 at about 127 annual births per 1,000 women in the U.S. Then there's a deep valley in the 1930s and 40s, around 76 annual births per 1,000 women. Then we hit that second peak in the 1950s and 60s, hey boomers, at 123 annual births per 1,000 women, which, after dropping dramatically between the 1960s and 70s, is followed by a flat-ish plateau from the mid-70s at about 66 annual births per 1,000 women to 2022, current day, at 56. In summary with this graph, America hit peak birth rate per 1,000 women on this graph in 1910 at 127 annual births per 1,000 women, and its lowest at 56 annual births per 1,000 women in 2022. Van Dam also points out, since the mid-1980s, the rate at which we've produced only children in the U.S. has been pretty steady. He says something like 1 in 5 American women ages 25 to 44 are one and done. They have one kid and then they're done having children. He zooms in on how many kids women had from 1975 to 2022, that flat-ish roller coaster track area of the graph that we were just talking through. While in the 80s is when only children rose to their current level, he also highlights that families with 3 or more kids also declined in the 80s, which Van Dam attributes some to birth control, education, and more women in the workforce. A few months before Van Dam's article posted, Gallup ran some studies on families and birth rate and published their findings in September 2023, which Van Dam even mentions in his research. Here are a few of those key findings from Gallup's related research. Only about 3% of Americans think you should only have one child, and 2% think no kids is ideal. So that's a very small amount of people. The minority vote for 0 to 1 kid. And compare that to, get this, about 44% of Americans think 2 children is ideal. Basically, what Gallup found here is that bigger families are coming back into style according to the numbers around preferences. So I've thrown a lot at you so far. Let's go back to Van Dam for a minute and summarize his overall findings with 2 main points. 1, if people want kids, they typically want more than one. And 2, a minority of women stop having kids after they have one, aka more people have multiple kids or none at all. I'll start wrapping up by throwing 2 more final notes at you. 1, a Pew Research study from 2021 showed 44% of childless adults aged 18 to 49 said they're probably not going to have kids. That's 44% of people saying they're not going to have kids, which is up from 37% in 2018. Also, here's maybe one of the most shocking statistics that Van Dam shares, which comes from a 2023 Wall Street Journal NORC poll. 78% of Americans are not confident that their children will have better lives than they did. Wow. 78% of Americans are not confident that their children will have better lives than they did. That is wild and definitely plays a role on the choice to have children. So there's also been a slang term taking over the internet in the 2020s, maybe even prior to the 2020s. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called DINKS, also known as dual income, no kids, referring to adult partners living together without children. As more people say they don't want kids, will we continue to see DINK culture increase? Only time will tell. Here are the top 4 things I'm taking away from what I've learned about U.S. birth rates since 2020. 1, birth rates have been higher than expected since 2020, but are still following the trend of declining steadily since 2007. 2, most Americans view 2 to 3 kids as ideal for a family to have. 3, DINK culture is on the rise. And 4, more than 3/4 of Americans don't believe their kids will have it better than they do right now. Links to my sources are in the show notes. Until next time, I'm Brenna Chambliss. Thank you for listening as I explore what's shifting in our lives since 2020. There is already a lot of information out there about what's changing since 2020. If you know any research being done in this area or people studying similar topics, please reach out and let me know at info@2020didititome.com. Who knows, you might hear someone you know on this podcast in the future. If you enjoy 2020 Did It To Me, please take a moment to rate and review this podcast wherever you're listening to it. This episode was researched, written, and produced by me, Brenna Chambliss. Sarah Duff created our cover art, and our music is by Winnie the Moog, and you can find a link to that music in the show notes. Thank you for listening.